Good day out there, everybody, all you college football fans. This is the Fifth Quarter Podcast. I'm your host, John Shomo. This week, we will review a very busy and interesting week four of the college football season and take a look at some featured games and some upcoming really good matchups during week five. End of September, we're getting to the end of the first full month of the season, and it's been very interesting already. So let's get started, shall we? First of all, in our review of week four, we'll start with the Friday night game in the Big Ten at Nebraska. It looked like they were back. The fans were ready to roll. They're always there, but they were ready to roll. Their 400th consecutive sellout. They were making a lot of noise. The Fighting Illini was in an old Big Ten. Well, not that old, I guess. Nebraska's only been in since 2011, but a more traditional Big Ten matchup than some of the ones we see lately. The takeaway for me was the Huskers aren't quite back. Dylan Raiola is a very good quarterback. He's a freshman. He's liable to get better. But hats off to Brett Bielema and the Illinois Fighting Illini as they stayed undefeated. Colin Dixon from Talmadge, two receptions for 25 yards, by the way, had two called back because of penalties, not on him, but he could have had four very easily. Now, here's a stat, the stat of the week, maybe. Nebraska, for all their history and all their tradition, have now lost their last 25 straight games against ranked opponents, anybody ranked in the top 25. They've lost 25 straight games against ranked opponents. They won't be back, quote unquote, until that number starts to change significantly. But, you know, are they on the way up? Yes. Are they probably going to do something they haven't done since 2016 and actually get bowl eligible this year? Likely. Okay. They're already three wins in, but that was a deflating setback for them, I'm sure, at home on a Friday night, national television. Good for Illinois. Illinois now will head to Penn State. We'll talk about some featured games later on in the podcast here. Two undefeated teams, a Big Ten league matchup. That's going to be interesting, but hats off to the Illini. They stuck with it. They scored quickly in two scores in the overtime period. Nebraska just went backwards. I think they had like a third and 43 in the overtime period. That's not very, very good for you. So hats off to Illinois. Nice job. There was a wild finish Saturday night. Some of you may have stayed up for that in Boulder, Colorado, where Colorado was taking on Baylor. Baylor had a touchdown lead near the last play of the game. Colorado had a fourth down. They threw the ball into the end zone. It wasn't your traditional Hail Mary, but one of their receivers dove and caught the ball. They tied it up, went to overtime. Shedeur Sanders scored in overtime. And then on the first play for Baylor, the quarterback or the running back fumbled. Travis Hunter, the All-American, great player from Colorado, knocked the ball loose just before the runner reached the goal line with the ball. The ball rolled through the end zone. And after a bunch of reviews with fans on the field, and it was kind of chaotic there, Colorado came up with the win, a win they badly needed, by the way. And it was a tough, frustrating loss, I'm sure, for the Baylor Bears, as it was. Travis Hunter, by the way, I'm kind of stuck on him. He's going to be, in my view, a top five draft choice in the NFL, no question about it. Two-way player, very good on both sides of the ball. Made the key play in the game, just a tremendous player. I'm skeptical of a lot that's going on with the Buffs right now. Coach Prime, I don't know whether the whole experiment's going to work or not, but that guy is a stud. Look for him to be playing on Sunday starting next year. Moving on, Marshall, their quarterback Earl, they came into the shoe to play the Buckeyes. Their quarterback was very good in the first half. He got it. He quickly looked for one receiver. If that receiver wasn't there, he started to scramble. That kind of threw the Ohio State pass rush off a little bit. Marshall, I thought, showed some things. They were very competitive in that first half. It was 28-14 Ohio State at halftime, and the Buckeyes made some good halftime adjustments and ran it up a little bit in the second half. I think Marshall will be pretty good and a threat to win the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt appears to be pretty wide open right now. Especially with App State struggling as they are. For Ohio State, Again, a slow start a little bit. They allowed Marshall to score on a 13-play drive opening the game. But the machine kind of kicked into gear after a bit. They did make good adjustments. The running back tandem of Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins was tremendous. Boy, they really look fast. I think that was the first hint of the old Chip Kelly run game that we saw there against Marshall. They've kind of been pretty vanilla so far, but Chip Kelly loves the run offense. He kind of got mislabeled at Oregon, and everybody thought he was pass happy. No, they ran the ball and ran the ball hard at Oregon when he was there. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit in Columbus. That's why they brought him in. So that'll be interesting to continue to watch. Our other local teams, the University of Akron Zips and the Kent State Golden Flashes, brought home their $1 million-plus checks and a lot of bumps and bruises, particularly for Kent State. Theirs was a historic loss. They gave up over 700 yards offense to Penn State while garnering only about 60-some yards themselves. It was one of the biggest discrepancies in the history of college football in terms of yards gained by each team. Akron kind of battled, as they have against their big-time opponents, through the first half and into the third quarter, but they just don't have enough guys that can compete at that level, and they kind of got swamped late in the game. South Carolina had a big fourth quarter and won 50-7. Those games are done for both Akron and Kent State, by the way. Each now faces their 8 Mid-American Conference games. Akron starts with the Ohio Bobcats this coming week. Kent State starts with Eastern Michigan coming to Dick's Stadium. Okay, other events. A big win for that team up north, the Wolverines, over Southern Cal. It looks like the Wolverines have decided that they are just going to go full smash mouth. Alex Orji at quarterback. They ran the ball almost 50 times. They had a total of 32 yards passing and beat the Southern Cal Trojans in a close one up at the Big House. Southern Cal, welcome to the Big Ten. That's how you're gonna see it right there. Tennessee looks awfully good under Coach Josh Heupel. He went back to his alma mater, the University of Oklahoma, and they won 25-15. The difference in Tennessee right now is they are playing defense. They are bringing guys in on the defensive line in waves and really stout defensively. That's going to make them very tough to beat. I look for them to stay undefeated, at least until that famous third Saturday in October, when they will take on the Crimson Tide of Alabama. A lot of big games coming up in the SEC. But Oklahoma, their offense, I gave all credit to Tennessee's defense, and they should get it. Oklahoma's offense ain't what it used to be, folks. They are not really scoring very much, very easily, and it was kind of exposed there against the Vols. All right, moving on to my picks for Week 4. We'll review how I did. It was very mediocre, to say the least. I picked 4 games. I got 2 of them right and 2 of them wrong. The ones I got right, I did have Tennessee taking them and the 3.5 points against Oklahoma. That was a win. I had the Minnesota Golden Gophers plus 3.5 against Iowa. That was not a win. Iowa kind of pulled away late in that one. I did have the Utah Utes, even without Cam Rising at quarterback. They played just a tough, brutal game, and over the temperature on the field was 140 plus degrees in Stillwater. But Utah came away with a 22-19 victory. They were 1.5 point favorites, so I get that one. And I mistakenly picked Southern Cal -3 at the Big House. That was almost a push there, but Michigan scored late and won the game. So my record in these picks here, I try to pick 4 games a week. We're now 8-9-1, so close to being .500 on the season. We'll make a few picks here in a few minutes and see how we do in Week 5. Okay, that's our Week 4 review pretty much. Other issues in the sport, nothing big new to report. Last week we reported on the Pac-12 grabbing for the future 4 teams out of the Mountain West Conference. It's unclear where the Mountain West goes from here. There are some options, but they're kind of all floating around in the stratosphere. There's nothing really concrete to report on, so we're not gonna spend a whole time on that here this week. So let's move on from other issues in the sport. Let's look ahead to Week 5, shall we? First, let's start locally, as we like to. Big Ten play begins this week for the Buckeyes. They will travel up to East Lansing to play the Michigan State Spartans. Hopefully you have a Peacock subscription, pardon me, if you want to see that game. It is Peacock only at 7 p.m. I don't know. They probably have a one-month subscription for $8 or $10 or something like that. So if you don't have a Peacock subscription and you want to see, there's other games on Peacock this weekend too. Peacock is highly recommended for this week, particularly. So the Buckeyes will be at Michigan State. The Buckeyes have won the last 8 straight in the series. I don't want to talk about the last time Michigan State won. I was there, and I'll never forget it, and I still can't believe that it happened. Look up November 2015 if you want to know what I'm talking about. But the Buckeyes have dominated up there. In fact, they haven't lost up there in this century, actually. The other two teams, as we said, Akron will go to Peden Stadium down in Athens to play the Ohio Bobcats, and Kent State will be home at Dick Stadium against Eastern Michigan. The Eagles come to town. Other games, we have some real interesting matchups here in Week 5. Let's go over those one at a time. The big one, the one that's going to get the most TV ratings and the most pregame banter, if you will, Battle of the Heavyweights in the SEC. The Georgia Bulldogs will travel to Alabama, to Tuscaloosa, to take on the Crimson Tide. Those two teams, it seems, have played a lot lately. Those games were not scheduled. They've played quite a few SEC championship games and even a couple of national championship games in the last 10 years. This is only their third scheduled regular season meeting since 2007. The SEC protects their big teams and doesn't make them play very often against other big teams, it seems. It's worked for them, I guess. But obviously, that's a massive game, not just in the SEC, but for the national picture. New coach there at Alabama. We'll see if Kirby Smart can get his offense in gear. They scored all of 13 points against Kentucky last time we saw them. That should be a real banger there in Tuscaloosa. Discussed this one previously. 4-0 Illinois visits 3-0 Penn State for a night game. Those are always tough for the visitors in Happy Valley. The last time those two met in Happy Valley in 2021, it was a memorable game. It wasn't pretty. Illinois beat Penn State 20-18 in that game. They played 9 overtimes. Now, this was where after the second overtime, you just have a one-play, two-point conversion. But in 9 overtimes, Illinois finally got a two-pointer and held Penn State and won 20-18. So they may not be as intimidated as some teams are going over there. We'll see. That'll be interesting. We have Virginia Tech at Miami on Friday night. The visiting team in that series has won 4 of 5. Virginia Tech took one on the chin at home this past weekend, defeated by the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who are undefeated, by the way. North Carolina, I don't know what to say. Now, they haven't had much defense recently. Their basketball team plays much better defense than their football team does. But giving up 53 points in the first half to a group of five team, James Madison, is just stunning. They lost the game 70-50. Evidently, according to reports, Coach Mack Brown offered his resignation to the team in the locker room after the game, and they talked him out of it. The players on the team did. I don't know where they're at. This is a bad week for North Carolina to not know where they're at because they travel the 8 miles up the road and play the Duke Blue Devils this Saturday in their rivalry game. Try not to give up 70 points is what I'd say. Can they bounce back from that? That's really fascinating. North Carolina has kind of owned the rivalry as of late. But wow, I don't know. I don't know how you can bounce back from that. That's going to be tough. All kinds of rumors swirling around the Tar Heel football program right now. I bet they can't wait for Hubert Davis and the boys to get it going on the hardwood. Oklahoma State will play at Kansas State in what's now an elimination game, so to speak, in the Big 12. Both of them lost last week. Kansas State lost big at BYU. Oklahoma State, as we mentioned, lost a close one at home to Utah. So that game takes on super importance for those teams. The loser of that game is really behind the eight ball in terms of maybe getting to the Big 12 championship game. The Big 12 is a very interesting conference to watch this year. It may not be the best. It's not the best. But it's very competitive, and there are lots of really good games on tap in the Big 12. That West Virginia-Kansas game the other day, interrupted by a lightning delay, but West Virginia with two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes to knock off the struggling Jayhawks. Boy, that either one of those teams really needed that game. The Mountaineers got it, and the Jayhawks didn't. The Big 12's full of games like that this year. They're kind of fun to watch. A couple other ones of note. Washington State, look out. The Pac-12, one of the two Pac-12 holdovers. They are playing some good football. They are at Boise State this weekend. That's an interesting Northwest matchup there. Can the Cougs keep playing well? Will the Boise State Broncos defend the blue turf? That's a sneaky good game there to watch. Also, here's another one, not as sneaky. Louisville is at Notre Dame this week. Riley Leonard is the Notre Dame offense, by the way, either by his arm, which they haven't really come up with a great passing game yet, but he ran for almost 150 yards last week. It's him or nothing, it seems, for the Notre Dame offense. Louisville coach Jeff Brohm will have those guys ready to play. They are good. They were in the ACC championship game last year. They're good again. He's a good coach. He'll have a scheme ready to go. That'll be interesting, too. Again, that's an elimination game for Notre Dame. Notre Dame cannot afford another loss after that egregious slip-up against Northern Illinois. By the way, Northern Illinois got beat in their first MAC game at home in overtime by the Buffalo Bulls. Ah, MACtion, you got to love it. Okay, there are lots of games to look forward to here in Week 5. We'll go to my Week 5 picks now. You know, I wouldn't go out and bet the house on these, but we'll see. I'm about 500. So we got four games on tap. Here we go. Georgia are 2-point favorites at Tuscaloosa. I just hate taking anybody but Alabama in a game at Tuscaloosa. I'll give the 2 points. I'll take the 2 points. I'll take Bama plus two in that one. The North Carolina-Duke game. Duke now has become three-point favorites in that game. Like the Tar Heels, more basketball so than football, but I'll take the Tar Heels plus three at Duke. We'll use the Friday night game here that I just mentioned, Virginia Tech against Miami. Miami are 17-point favorites. It's in South Florida. It'll be hot and humid, and Miami likes to score. Cam Ward is just having a tremendous season. I'll take Miami and give the 17 points there against Virginia Tech. Wouldn't do that if it was in Blacksburg, but I'll do it in Miami. Finally, that Washington State-Boise State game is very intriguing. The Broncos are 7-point favorites on the blue turf. That's a tough one. I'll take them. I'll take Boise State minus 7. Against Wazoo. I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes a push, quite honestly. But we'll take the Broncos coming off their bye week against Washington State. So there we go. I'm taking Alabama, taking the Tar Heels, taking Miami with a bunch of points, and I'm taking Boise State with a touchdown. We'll see. All right. Probably go 2-2. Who knows? All right. That'll be it. Thanks for listening. We'll be at you next week with a wrap-up of Week 5 and a look forward to Week 6. If you have anything, any comments, any questions, anything you'd like us to talk about here on the Fifth Quarter, please email us. The email address is 3goodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, 3goodquestions at gmail.com. That's 3goodquestions at gmail.com. Again, thanks for choosing us. I'm John Shomo. This is the Fifth Quarter. Hope your team does well this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot for listening.